that search committee, how courageous they want to be. But I think they could really do something different. To take a shot, man, you know.
Troy Daniels is still there, though.
Troy is still there.
Troy is there. I don't think Troy or the other lady,
Holly Mary,
Holly, are going to get a shot because, I mean, in my honest opinion, I just felt like if you were in that level upper management and you didn't know that some of this stuff was going on that was being described, you should have known.
Right? Part of the old guard, they may want just a fresh new way to get some outside.
So, folks, you got it on yet?
Yeah, Tom.
Oh, man, you weren't supposed to tape all that stuff, man.
We'll be able to tell. We'll be able to figure out who's talking.
All right, so we're going to bring this meeting to order. Call it to order. It is 5:10, October 21st, 2011. Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Service, Brookings Administrative Center in the Jennifer K. Putnam meeting room. Jennifer is on the bus. She says she'll be here in a little while. I think Patricia Avery says she would not be able to make the meeting tonight.
Joan Miller.
And Joan Miller says she would not be able to make it as well. Yeah. So we have in attendance
Pius Weibel,
Bill Brown,
Roger Holland,
Randy Rosenbaum,
Tom Bafanas,
Harper Castle,
and Aaron Evans.
Aaron, just let you know, I have to leave early because my wife scheduled a party and I need
and she invited you?
No, actually not quite. She informed me of the party and said, I need to be home early to clean house.
Ah, okay. Wow. All right, well.
Wow.
That's interesting. So if you get there early, you don't have to pay to get in, right? You
know, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure what kind of party it is.
Wow.
What?
Okay, so we don't have a whole lot on here, but I did want to... So we call this to order, get a roll call. Do we have an approval, a motion?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved. Aye. Second by Judge. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. The minutes from the last meeting, Jennifer said she would be bringing them with her. So
okay.
If someone would be willing to jot down a few things until then, that would be great. I'll make some notes if we can have somebody else do it too. Compile them. Barbara, would you do that for us? Jot down some notes?
I just agree.
Oh, he just agreed?
Okay. I don't care, I think.
All right.
Announcements and communications. November 10th meeting with the League of Women Voters. Joan will send that back out again to everybody to make sure that we know to come and be supportive. I'll be presenting. And I don't know if Patricia's going to be able to be there.
That's your Urbana City building?
Yes. I think that's what we did last time.
Yeah.
No public participation. November 10th would be a... Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
What time?
Yes.
It didn't. I don't know if
it's noon.
Noon.
Yeah.
So, myself, Bill, and Patrick, and Roger met with Kirk Bedwell. And so, several things were discussed in the meeting. Roger, would you like to give us an update?
I don't know if there's an update, but. Kirk and Bill have been communicating about the data that was requested. We're trying to make sure that Bill gets whatever he needs to do his study. I think it will be useful to look at data by population track, by zip code. I think that'll be a useful exercise. I have the report from this month Kirk provided me today. It appears that things haven't changed all that much. We don't really expect it to be a wide variety. The one thing that is improved is Bill did some analysis and sent it all out to us about making it more accurate about the census data that we use for comparison purposes. So that is the data that's used as opposed to the my rough analysis that has been done before. It makes the disparity a little bit different. We are about 1.1% underrepresented in Asian Americans, about 3.1% underrepresented in African Americans, 6.7% overrepresented in Caucasians, 2.6% underrepresented in Hispanic, and 3.1% underrepresented in other. Native Americans are slightly higher, 0.2% overrepresented.
Mine was rounded off to 1%, so...
Right, and they split it out by Hispanics the Hispanic data, I believe there's some sort of, and Bill may be able to answer this for me, but I believe that there is some sort of differentiation between Hispanics as an ethnicity as opposed to a race. Mm-hmm. So that's why when you look at the census data, it adds up to more than 100% because the Hispanic 3% was not added into that original 100. So, but again, this is not that drastically different than what we saw the last time, but that is the most updated data as of today.
And so, Bill, what you provided us with, before we move into your report, just also to share that I learned a few things from the meeting with Kirk that it was entertaining the idea of how to, for lack of a better word, to have some form of an affirmative action aspect of jury selection process. Because for me, and this is something I guess we could chew on as we move forward, because we've done quite a bit of a very good work, I just can't see how we're going to level a playing field if the most overrepresented population continues to have more balls in the pool than everybody else. I just don't see how we could ever get to that point with all the education and everything that we do if we don't do more to increase. And I know that we have to wait and see how things go with the unemployment piece in January. But continuing in that vein, trying to figure out how to make that the number of opportunities as close to equal as possible, to me, is the only way we're going to really get to where we're trying to go. But that was what I sort of got out of the meeting as we talked more, that there are other avenues that we could possibly pursue, but we'd have to look more into them from a legislative standpoint. We have some things that legally we may or may not be able to do, but I just wanted to continue to put that out because I think there's some other things that we could do.
Yeah, I think the things that we discussed would get us out of the strict random selection, which... again, would cause difficulties in legality if we start targeting certain zip codes or certain areas and sending them more questionnaires versus other areas, then we get away from the true random selection. And I believe in order to do that, although I haven't looked at it that deeply, but I believe in order to do that, we would probably have to have a change in the legislation as to... the random nature of...
Remember when we talked to Paula, and that was one of the suggestions that Patrick had, and she said you could do that, but it would skew your randomness. I don't... Well, maybe time for us to ask her again what... actually, she thought we would be better off just to go to a one-step process and send out the summons, but maybe it would be a good idea, Roger, if we could contact her again and see if she can provide us with some information on trying to what would happen if we did that. What would be the ramifications? It's still going to be random. I mean, we're taking a zip code, we're taking a geographic area of the community, and randomly sending out questionnaires.
Mm-hmm. And see, one of the things that I got from the meeting, and why I'm in essence, challenging the random period, because from my perspective, and dealing with a population that's being underrepresented, the game is fixed already. Okay, sure, we'll use a word like random. Okay, so everybody feels like it. But if it's 99 of you and only one of me, shit, random works just fine for you, right? You're still going to have what the outcome is going to be the same.
If you assume everything is based on race and people are going to vote along racial lines all the time, yeah.
So I'm talking about how you're getting into the pool and the numbers that you have. If you're just saying that the white population is what percentage of the population in Champaign? 73%? And I'm only 12%? Then I'm still going to end up with, I'm going to get a short end of the stick, right?
I think that's part that's in the Constitution. It's supposed to represent the community. So if that's what the community is, then that's what you would expect in the pool. But we haven't been getting that. So
no,
I think
we're not
for,
up to 12%.
For me, I think leveling the playing field just means having the community represented equally and having African-American viewpoints on every jury. And that's not happening now because we aren't getting people in there. I think if you have one or two African-Americans on jury, you've accomplished getting your viewpoint in there. And I think most people are open to understanding that viewpoint. So I think that essentially levels the playing field. You're never going to get a majority.
Right.
I think the way the system is set up, it is random. It doesn't appear random. But, you know, I think what we need to focus on is the people who are in the minority communities need to turn in the questionnaires more so that their numbers go up. That's where I think we need to focus, because if you say this particular neighborhood is, you know, 75% African American, but we're only getting a small number of questionnaires back, mm-hmm. by then sending more questionnaires simply to that neighborhood, you know, I think you are kind of skewing the fairness of it all. Even though it's a well-intentioned one to kind of get the numbers up, you are kind of, it's not random anymore. You're sending more to an area where you know you get low returns in the hopes to get up the return numbers because you're sending just more there. And I don't think that makes it random, even though you're well-intentioned. I think we have to try and get the people to return them. And
I think the concern and what Roger was saying at our meeting was that you can do that, but it would probably be challenged in court unless there was some change in the law to allow you to do that. Because as it is now, it has to be a random selection from the community, which is the county, defined as the county.
But I also think you're in the problem with that. They don't define what the community is either. I suspect they don't say it's by race or religion; they just say community.
Right. Well, that's why you have
a problem.
And then, how do you determine what's good enough? I mean, what happens if you start tweaking it and you send all of these questionnaires and you target the areas, and then you end up it being the other way? You know, not that that would be horrible either, but you know, determining exactly how to tweak it so that it gets to the point where it's, you know, approaching the exact number. I'm not sure how you do that.
Well, I think that the moves that we make and whatever efforts we make, if we see change, then we have some way to sort of gauge what affects change, right? You know what I mean? So I think that we learn through the whatever process we implement if it has some impact or not, and to what degree it has an impact. And I'm not so sure. Like, if we look at the numbers of whites who are in the pool, who are as a population, and we're saying that they are overrepresented by 6.7%, right? I guess I'm wondering, what is the percentage of no returns that would basically go to, quote-unquote, the white community? And what is the percentage of no returns that goes to black, Hispanic, and they, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You mean
so,
the ones who don't send it back?
Right.
Well, the only way to do that is by looking at what Bill's study would be.
Right.
Because we have no way of, unless you turn it back in and you indicate your race, mm-hmm. we have no idea what your race is.
You don't know.
So we can't guess what that is by just sending it out.
And that's why I'm saying we can't come to the conclusion that the black folks ain't sending the questionnaires back.
Right. Yeah, we have no idea.
I'm just addressing what Randy was saying, is that we got to get them to bring more.
We need everybody to send back their questionnaires.
Right.
Question: how do we know who's not sending it back? If we knew by census tract where these questionnaires are going, and you would assume that maybe this one census tract is majority African American, and we're not getting, you know, hardly any of them back, that would be an assumption that we're not getting them from that African-American community.
And that's
but it's not a guarantee that we're getting it right.
Right, but that's what Bill's doing. I mean, that's what the data that he's getting from us, that's part of what Bill's study is. Again, it's not perfectly scientific, but it gets us closer than we're going to get otherwise because, again, unless you self-indicate, we have no idea what it's going
to
be.
Like, even if we, you don't have to assume that African-Americans aren't returning theirs in equal numbers as whites. But we do know that we aren't getting enough African-Americans on juries. Mm-hmm. So no matter what the rate of return is, we need to encourage more African-Americans to return it. Even if it means they're returning more than whites are, we need to get you know, we need to boost the number of African Americans, and that's the only immediate thing we can do.
And we started using the follow-up letter, right, Roger?
Out of everybody, what, one-third are never returned, or a half?
Yeah, I mean,
so that's
it's
about
40,
really,
it's about 60-40. We did do a
take
one...
advantage of the fact that everybody, a lot of people aren't returning them, so if we can get more African Americans returning them and, you know, maybe not encourage the white neighborhoods so much somehow.
We did do a one-time check on what the rate of return would be on sending out a second questionnaire. We got about a 40% response.
Increase? I mean,
40% of those who got a second one sent theirs back. So that's a pretty good number. So I'm thinking that we probably ought to go ahead and expand that, at least do another 500 and see, make sure that wasn't just an anomaly and see how that goes. The reason I'm a little hesitant to just open up the floodgates is it is expensive. We're basically doubling our cost. And I know it's the county's money, but
so
I do try to be it.
That did better than the follow-up letter did, basically?
Yeah.
Barbara?
Paul, wouldn't it be cheaper, in the long run at least, to go to no questionnaire and just a single shot, which is what
the
recommended?
It
I
might
mean, in
be
the end, you know, you got less postage. But do we know from Paula, Hannaford, Agor, if... I think she recommended doing a single shot, but does she have any idea of what we could anticipate as a gain?
Well, we used to do that. I mean, that was our original system. And we were getting back 20 to 25%.
Yeah, we'd have to send out 500 summonses to get 125 people.
And so, see, you may think it's going to save you money, but if we have to, I mean, we need 125 jurors every week. So if we have to send out, you know, 4 to 5 times that number every week, we'll be sending out 2,000, you know, a month just to get the same numbers. So, again, I'm not sure. So that's my concern about that.
So, Bill, what you've been doing some work.
Well, I haven't had time really to do much on it, but and also the first data that Kirk sent didn't have. He sent data for people that that you sent questionnaires to and summons to, but we also need that column of disposition as far as whether they returned it or whether they were summoned or whether they, you know. So I'll get back with Kirk. I just haven't had time to get into it yet, so I haven't followed up. I will follow up with Kirk and make sure we get that extra column.
Yeah, just send him an email and he'll respond, I'm sure.
But yeah, that's the basic idea of what I was planning to do, pretty similar to what I tried with 2008 data, but the problem with that was we were using old census data, and for another thing, the court data wasn't quite as clean as it is now and had some duplicates and stuff in it, so I think we'll get better results with this data.
So if you would just reiterate, what exactly is your goal from the data that you collected?
So we'll have data for everybody that was sent a questionnaire and sent a summons and how they responded to that. So then by using that, along with the, we can do it at different levels and go down to the block level where you have, you know, maybe 50 houses and you know that 20 of them are African-American households or something. So you can actually allocate, you can use those percentages to figure out what percentage of the ones went to that block or that tract or that whole, you know, and combine them all into the whole thing. You can come pretty close to what percentage, since we know it was random, what percentage of the people should have been getting questionnaires, and then how many came back with, well, know what they marked as race when they came back. So we should be able to tell a little bit about whether the one question you had was whether African Americans and whites returned their questionnaires at different rates. We don't know that, so we might be able to find that out. And we'd also find out maybe whether they were dropping out at the questionnaire stage, either not getting a questionnaire, because we can analyze, you know, we can do our own random sampling to see how many should have gone to that neighborhood, and if there's only 20 going to that neighborhood and there should have been 30 if we'd done the randomness, then that tells you they aren't signed up, basically. They either don't have a driver's license or it was the wrong address or something. Mm-hmm. For some reason they aren't on our master list if there's not enough going to that neighborhood. So we'll be able to tell things like that,
wow,
hopefully.
Now, I understood The percentages. What percentages? We're not sending them back.
Okay.
But all the rest of it sounds like foreign language to me. But I don't know if it's going to make sense to me until I see it in front of me anyway, because I'm a visual learner like that. But
I think there's really two things. One is...
Bill, did you send this to everybody that I got today about the number of people living in the same place?
I could mention
that. That's really important.
Oh, can I see that?
That was just another census thing. The census has been coming out with all kinds of data because they have all this new data to work with now. But this one dealt with geographic mobility, how often people move. And in Urbana, 44% of the people, basically, 56% live in the same place they did a year ago.
Isn't that
so 44% don't.
Half of people.
But that's, you know, that's a third of the Urbana students.
And of course they're not going to get the thing that's sent out to her last afternoon.
And we talked about that before, the transient nature of the community. Mm-hmm. In fact, I asked Paula what if there's been any studies on that, and she didn't seem to think that there was anything out there on that. But I think that given the fact that we have such a transient community with the university, we're missing people because they've simply moved. They're students, they move from the dorms to an apartment to wherever, or professors in and out of the community, whatever it is, and we're just missing people because they're
I think you hear that from schools too. They say that the kids, in one class, their whole class will change over 10 or 15, 20% during the year.
Right. Has anybody ever thought about, I know Paula's kind of a national expert, has anybody ever called the judges or the jury commission in like Madison, Wisconsin or State Park, Pennsylvania, other transient places to see what system do you have and how do you deal with it?
That's not a bad idea. Although it actually would be better if we started with Illinois to see if they use the same computer system, there would be some tie-ins there too. But
and I guess McComb and some others.
McLean County.
I think Wilmington, almost positive, they use Jury 2000.
Okay.
And see what kind of results they have.
Coles County, I mean, you've got 12,000 to 14,000 students at the Eastern.
Yeah.
That's a relatively small county. That's a good chunk of your population.
SIU, McCarthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing too is that I think U of I has a larger international component to these people too, and I think that might also have a tendency to skew the information because a lot of those people aren't U.S. citizens, so they're not eligible to serve.
Right.
But they're in the census data.
They'll be in the census data. Yeah.
In the census data, and they may have driver's license, so they may get questionnaires.
Right. But they're coming back as not. They're not eligible because they're not a citizen.
So on this sheet, if you get a chance to look at it, I did put in the orange, that includes non-citizens, and I said that might be what we would expect for questionnaires returned, but that would assume they had driver's license. So actually, what the questionnaires being returned would be somewhere in between those two numbers, between the orange and blue, because probably a lot of those people wouldn't have driver's license. But that U of I demographics shows a lot of foreign people. And they do theirs a little bit different. They're, in order to be classified as foreign at the U of I, you have to not be there's those different resident alien kind of classifications. If you're a resident alien, you're not considered foreign. You have to be a non-resident alien. So there's some overlap there. It's kind of hard to make all the numbers match up to what the way the census sees it.
So basically, would you be able to do a presentation for us next month, or how
probably
much?
Probably not. It'll probably take a little bit, probably 2 months.
December?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I wanted to, just on this topic, because it sort of raises the issue of where we have the most control, if you will, and this conversation did come up. I wanted to talk about this for a second with Kirk about how the process works, and I began to understand even a little bit clearer that so information goes to the state, then it goes to Kirk, right?
Well, it starts even smaller than that. It goes from the Department of Motor Vehicles, your local one, and the county clerk, because they're the ones who do most of the voter registration and obviously the driver's license. That data is sent to the Secretary of State, That data is then, they compile all of that data. They then put that information on a CD-ROM disk. And then that gets sent, that CD-ROM disk gets sent to the people in Texas. People in Texas run it through what's called the change of address database. So if anybody bothered to go to the post office and fill out the form saying that they're moving and this is the new address, then it will filter that and make those changes so that we will know where they are. Once that's done, they take the data and put it into the format of these different fields, you know, name. They basically put it in the way so that the computer system that they've developed understand it. And then they send that to us, and we update that information, and that's when we start the computer. We ask the computer to go out and draw at random. They go out, they draw however many names we ask. They print out questionnaires. We send the questionnaires out, and that's how the system works in general terms.
And so what I was picking up from that process, as you really carefully listen and follow it, is that at some point it comes back to us, and the questionnaire, for instance, goes out to a farmer or a teacher. And they say, okay, well, I'm not able to serve during this time.
Right.
That farmer or that teacher then is put on the shelf over here. Right? And then at a certain time, put back into a particular system.
It doesn't have to be just farmers and teachers. It can be anybody who has a month that may not work for them.
But my whole point, what I was trying to really wrap my head around was, so once we have in our hands an actual person, right? We have this person who filled out the questionnaire and Bill can't serve during this time. We have Bill's name sitting right here.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And then whenever we get ready, or whenever Bill says this is a better time, or whenever he marked off, we just chunk him back into the system. And I'm just not able to... How can we create a pool of people of color, African Americans in particular, in this situation, where you can do almost that same thing? And I'm just trying to, because all throughout the process, it seemed as if our hands were off of it completely, right? It was just random. But at some point during the process, I'm learning that no, we actually have in our hands names and bodies.
Well, and of course, and we do in other ways too. For example, the jury commission, people who may experience a hardship, can come to the jury commission and ask to be excused or deferred, and then we excuse or defer them if the jury commission believes that they are in need of being excused or deferred. So at that point, we have our hands on the data. But you have to remember that the number of people that you're talking about, and I would be interested in knowing this because I have never looked into it, but I don't believe the number of individuals who select a specific time is a large number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not that I'm trying to discount what you're saying, because any number will, it does take away from the pure random nature of it, but I don't think it's a very large number who actually indicate a month they want to serve, as opposed to the general population.
And I really don't know where I'm trying to go with it or anything. I just feel like something is there that I'm missing, and I was hoping that, you know, by mentioning it, somebody, it may spark an idea from somebody else. Because I'm just going to revisit that. I really am thinking about the different ways to increase the numbers, because I just don't see how, when you look at age and you look at all the various different components, how we're going to address that simply through awareness. And it has to be some other stuff that we do. But I don't know. I just wanted to throw it out there and we can chew on it later or something. Yeah.
Well, to follow where I thought you were going, or were you saying that people have identified, turned in their questionnaires, which were sent to them randomly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're turning them in and they say that they're race.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, you're asking, could we fiddle with it and say, well, let's draw those people into the pool at a greater rate if they are African American to try to bring them to the place where they equal the population.
Yeah. And I think at that point, again, anything you do where you manipulate the data any more than asking somebody about a different month, I think that is dangerously, and only because the last thing we want to do is send somebody out a questionnaire and then send somebody a summons and they tell us they can't serve because they've got X, Y, and Z. If we can keep them in the pool and wanting to serve, you know, they want to serve and we can keep them in no matter what their race is, we want to do that. Okay? So if they've been sent a questionnaire, they say they can serve, they meet the eligibility requirements, we want to do everything we can to keep them, no matter whether they're black, white, green, orange, no matter what they are, we want them in. So, but I think anything we do more than that begins to manipulate the system, and then we run afoul of the rules we have to abide by.
Years ago, Vermilion County had a problem in that the clerks are well-intended. Jurors would be sitting in the jury assembly room. A couple of courtrooms are starting trials. This courtroom has an African-American defendant. And what the clerks were doing were finding the African-Americans in the jury pool and sending them into the courtroom. Well-intended, those cases all got reversed.
It's against the rules.
Well, it's not random anymore. Mm. So, and the frustrating part of random. A couple of jury trials ago, trial, the defendant is a Caucasian male. 35 potential jurors walk in. I have 6 African-American females on my 35. Last trial I did, domestic battery. I think I only had 7 men in, out of the 7 men. I had 1 African-American male, 6 other Caucasian males, and 29 women. I mean, you're looking at this and you're going, come on. So, you know, Randy sees it too.
Yeah, and when you're talking about, you know, well-intentioned, but, you know, and maybe skewing the law or, you know, doing something to kind of increase the participation, fiddling, I mean, even if it's well-intentioned, it's probably not legal. And not only that, you know, you start to think, you know, who's going to raise the issue? You know, if you have an African-American defendant, he gets a bunch of African-Americans, he's not going to complain. But tell me if I'm wrong, but when the U.S. Supreme Court starts talking about, you know, the right of jurors and this Batson striking, I mean, it's sort of the juror's right to be there, too. It's not just a defendant's right to have peers, but it's a juror's right to not be discriminated against. So theoretically, if we start manipulating things to help certain groups, potentially you have other citizens out there saying, hey, I'm being discriminated against by not being random. I should be there, too. So you're opening a can of worms when you start to manipulate data, even if it's well-intentioned. So
yeah, and I don't know if I'm not trying to manipulate data. I was just trying to understand the process because, see, we have so much when we talk about it. If you don't trust the system, then you're not going to want to be involved in it, right? So I'm saying through most of this process, I have been under the impression, and I have been saying to other people, that we don't touch this, right? It's computer, it's random, and people are saying, okay, but what is the computer system? I don't know. I've been living here all this time. And then to find out that we actually, when you think through the process, we actually have names, race, that sort of data in our hands that we pull and hold. Then that changes it. It's not just all computer generated. You know, we have the authority to say at some point, I'm putting Bill back in, or I'm not going to put Bill back in. Right? You know what I'm saying? So now I have to say to somebody who says, how does the African American feel about that, or somebody who's underrepresented, how do they know they were put back in? If they sent their questionnaire and they said, hey, well, I can't serve during these 2 months, I got this situation, how do I tell them that, yeah, but don't, I know you couldn't serve during that time, but your name was put back into the pool? How do you tell anybody that?
What month you can serve?
Yes, you specify the month.
That's pretty much automatic, too, probably. Once you specify the month, then you're just right. Automatically, and the computer right. Knows that's the month you want to serve, so next time they bring up names during that month, it'll put you.
So basically, when a person says, I can't serve during this time, the person's name is put into a data or file into the computer's memory of some sort. I'm just trying to think out loud.
They have to say what month they do want to serve, not right. Just if they can't serve. So that's a more positive. And then that gives the computer something to do with them.
And what happens is the computer is so sophisticated that it literally takes the piece of paper, the questionnaire, and when it scans it through, it reads, oh, this box is filled in. This mm-hmm. box for April is filled in. That means we're going to put them in the April thing. Mm-hmm. So it does that mm-hmm. without anybody typing a key anywhere.
Or
it
knowing what's being
it just scanned. It, when it's scanned in, it sees the computer says, okay, I see that there's ink in this box. And I know from my computer programming that when there's ink in that box, that means I need to put this person in this place. Mm-hmm. And when it's time to pull jurors for them, they follow.
But I think it's more personal than that even. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but my wife got a questionnaire and then a summons to come in on a certain week. And we had a planned vacation and everything. And it said, call the number. And she spoke, I don't know, one of the jury commissioners and said, I can't come then. He said, well, can you come next month? And she said, sure. And he said, how about this week? And she goes, well, how about the week after that? Because we had a lot of stuff, whatever. And, I mean, there was a lot of personal contact to make sure that my wife, who couldn't make it a certain week, would be given a specific summons week when she was available. So I don't know if that happens to everybody who calls into the jury commission and says, I'm not good for that date. But there's a lot of personal to encourage them to actually serve.
Did she eventually get called for the convenience?
It's
week?
In November, December, the week.
But she
whatever,
did. She is going to be called.
Right. So I think when someone sends it in and says, I'm only free for this month, I mean, maybe this only happens to personal contact when you get in the summons stage. You know,
well, but
when you do the questionnaire, maybe not, because you're just putting a month you're available.
Again, the overall point is we have enough problem with people not bothering to send it in at all. So the people who go through the trouble to say, I want to do my civic duty. I have a problem because I'm a farmer and I work during the summers, but winters I'm available. We want to do everything we can, no matter what that person's racial background is, no matter what they are like, we want them in our family. So we're going to do everything we can to include people. And we do the same thing with people who have disabilities. We do everything we can to make sure that they're included. And no matter what we have to do, we make sure they're included. And so we're not in the exclusion business. Mm-hmm. We're in the inclusion business.
Bill, I just wanted to mention one other thing came out of that meeting was, since I'd lived in Champaign County for 30 years and never been called, I wanted to make sure my name was actually in the database. Mm-hmm. So Kirk did check, and my name is in the database. I gave him my address and birthday, and Patrick checked, and his name is in there. You've been called, so you know your name's in there. So that was just kind of reassuring to know that, yeah, it's in there.
That's interesting. If he can show you, is that something that's public information then?
No.
Well, it's not public because it's in the actual computer, but anybody can check and see. If they called and wanted to know whether their name was in the pool,
that might be actually something we could think about. You can, I think, do that with your voter registration, right? You can go online and check to see if you're registered. I wonder if we could do an application where people can go online and see if they're in the jury pool, just as a confidence builder, you know, for people that say, you know, I've lived here for 10 or 15 years and never been called. They must not have
it has more impact.
There.
I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive, you know, and I'm sure Patrick walked away thinking, oh, okay. Because you have people who think that this is corrupt, it is conspiracy. I mean, you know, so when you can show somebody, no, you're right here next to, you know, in this whole list. I don't know if that's something that we could do, but it's something that it gives me something else to talk about on the radio or whatever, that, hey, listen, we talked to Mr. Brown and to Patrick Thompson, and their names are in the list. And if any of you want to know if you're in the pool, all you have to do is contact me or contact the circuit clerk? Who would they contact?
They would probably go ahead and contact our jury folks because they would be the ones to do it.
Not
the jury commission. We have two jury clerks who are part-time employees who come in. And they're the ones who actually meet and greet the jurors and make sure that they come get to the actual courtrooms if they're scheduled to be at it, do the help with orientation, and make sure they have their badges and basically shepherd people through the
Is there an actual number that people should call?
Yeah, I can give you. I can see what that phone number is.
Okay. Did they check and see if their address is correct on the database? Because if it isn't, they're not going to get
them. How did he access you? Name and address?
With Bill Brown, or you want to make sure.
Yeah, because there were more than one. I remember Kurt telling me there was more than one William Brown.
Okay. Yeah, really?
There are several. There's even a William M. Brown.
Is that your middle name? Are you a William M. Brown? Oh, my.
Okay, so name, birth date, maybe even social security number? Would that?
No.
Name, address, birth date, that's all you get.
Name, birth date, address, okay.
I'll find you that number. I need to go through my contacts.
So, okay. Judge, mm-hmm. This is the first I knew that there were two positions that are part-time called jury clerk.
Mm-hmm.
So do they work more or fewer hours than the jury commissioners do?
More.
And they're on the staffing of the clerk of the circuit court?
No, they're in my office.
Okay. And is, so to apply for that position, a person would submit their application to you?
Mm-hmm. We've got two part-time. One of them is always there when we've got jurors coming in. What, we've got jurors coming in next year, 36 weeks?
I think that's...
Something like that. Something like so that. I'll have one of them in, at least one of them in those weeks that we've got jurors coming in, or if we have a special jury coming in. And, yeah, it's a part-time position, and...
They're union employees. They're actually AFSCME employees, so all of their employment, the terms and conditions of their employment is pursuant to the collective bargaining.
Okay.
And we need we need a new third jury commissioner.
Sure do.
I got two. I need one more, please.
Can we add some things to the agenda, for example?
Okay. What do you want to answer?
Well, we can event at some point. We can. Actually act on the minutes from the last meeting. But I think that we should deal with the proposal from J.W. Pirtle. And we have not acted on the recruiting, interviewing, assistance to Judge Stefanis in filling up the remaining vacancy. I know the Adams vacancy and the Skinner vacancy have been created. Could you repeat
that? No. The Suggs vacancy and the Adams vacancy have been filled. We're waiting for the Skinner vacancy is going to occur now.
Okay. Can you, what are the names of the new commissioners, please?
It's Sherry Adams.
S-H-C-H-E-R-I.
And Dixie Hackler is the other one.
Dixie.
H-A-C-K-L-E-R.
Yes.
H-A-C-K-L-E-R. Okay, thank you. And I know we passed announcements already. I'd like to say that I will get off work for November 10th so that I can just be in the audience or, you know, assist. It'll be the second time we've done that. So I'll do that. And at our last meeting, Deb Busey mentioned that there's going to be a retirement, or no, it's the recognition for county employees 5, 10, 15, 20 years, plus retirees, and that she said the three jury commissioners will be honored on October 31st. Mm-hmm. And it's not really open to the public, but I asked if I could come, and she said yes. Judge Stefanis, she made a funny look.
I was going to say, if she said no, you could come as my guest.
Oh, okay. Well, she said, Jenny, that'd be great. And I said, oh, thank you.
I was going to suggest if she somehow said no, that we'll get you
okay. there. But it's not open to the public some things are. But I really want to be there.
And we do have the three certificates from the General Assembly congratulating them on their service.
Right. It was Chapin Rose, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And in the minutes, I see I made an error here about reporting on the meeting with Kirk Bedwell. I wrote September 12th, but it was September 21st. And after we deal with helping the judge identify an appropriate new commissioner, we should still get an update on what's happened with our order from the Rantoul Press.
Mm. Oh, right. Okay, so the Rantoul Press thing, that was that Ken, or because you said the order to Ken, right?
I've been holding this check for $200, and I really don't want to hold on to it anymore. It's made out to Rantoul Press from the Bar Association, and I was going to give it to Ken as soon as we got the 200 or the whatever copies for the $200.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it's been made yet. I thought you and Ken were still doing revisions or whatever.
A lot of communication back and forth, and I sent a final, the approved version, and then I didn't hear from him for a couple weeks, and it turns out he had an adult education. He was out of the county for a period. The last I heard from him, I think I CC'd you and Bill on that. I was, thanks for staying in touch, and for whatever reason, he isn't here tonight, and so I think I'll stop doing email and just call him up and find out what's happening.
But once it's made and we spend the $200, mm-hmm. who is going to pick it up and who's going to keep these? Are you going to pick them up? Are you going to pick them up from Ken? Because whoever is going to pick them up, I'd like to give the check to give them Ken, because it's already made after me.
Well, I thought he would just bring them to the meeting, is what I was
saying.
I hope it's okay.
If we have to, I can go get them. It's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I can hang on to it a little bit longer, but...
But wasn't there going to be a $500 check?
Yeah, in fact, I think that the one mistake, okay. I believe that the 800 trifold and the 20 posters was going to be for the $200.
Oh.
So I think if you just move that up to the $200 donation, and then we did get a $500 grant. Mm-hmm. They made the check out to the Champaign County Bar Association. Uh-huh. I gave it to them. They've deposited it in their account for our use. So as soon as we're ready to spend $500 more, the Bar Association will get a check to Mantle Press again.
But the $200 covers the 800 trifold and the posters.
Yeah, I think
so. Okay.
Yeah.
So...
I'll talk to Ken and give this to him. Okay. And, yeah, but once we get the materials, they probably should go to you, because you go to a lot of the events and stuff where you want to hand them out. And
yeah, we'll make sure that they get distributed. I just wanted to make sure. I thought Ken was going to bring them in, and then we would just go from there. But So you said you're going to give Ken a call?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the last question I have about that is, do we want to use the $500 to just make more copies of the same thing, or are we going to come up with some supplement or
change?
I mean, we did ask the Bar Association. We sent this prototype in. It was a jury brochure kind of thing, so I hate to change it too significantly.
Okay.
But I think if we want to tweak it a little bit or change here and there.
With different audiences, we could tweak it.
We could tweak it a little bit here for this audience, tweak it a little bit here for another audience, and make copies of each of those we could. But
I think we should have Aaron and people like Patrick get it out on the street, and you start to get feedback and find out what works well, and just get it circulating and see where we should go from there.
Okay. We can work on something.
And I hope it's in an interest-bearing account.
It is, I think.
You get 10 cents by the next year.
But the State Bar Association won't want us to sit on the money for a year without spending. They don't have a time frame, but I think within 60 or 90 days they would like to see us using it and stuff.
Did no one hear from Ken in advance?
No, he didn't respond to the emails.
Okay.
So, and then we wanted to see what Roger was looking into seeing about the radio ad. Maybe, Judge, can you respond to that?
We would be able to pay for a 6-month slot if that would be all right with Mr. Pirtle. We'd write him a check for, $750?
Oh, wow.
Does he want a year?
Okay, I want to, Judge, we haven't discussed this. At the last meeting, he made his presentation, mm-hmm. and then you see the meeting just ended.
Mm-hmm.
It was we just agreed we'd talk about. I've been thinking in the intervening about it. I feel very strange paying $125 a month for us to do the programming, to make a copy, to pay to be on a radio station. And maybe I have to be honest, maybe my odd feeling also stems from a phone call that I got from the WBCP office, and they were calling the office where I work, a nonprofit organization, and asked if we would like to make a donation to the station for a health fair that they were going to be publicizing. And I thought, wow, this is strange. We're usually getting donations from other people mm-hmm. to help us provide dental care to low-income families. And I feel odd about the station wanting money from the Citizens Advisory Committee, which doesn't even have a budget. Why does it... You pay money to go when we create the programming. Go to spend the time to it's called producing, right? You line up the guests, you bring them, you do research, you prepare for the program. I don't think we should have to pay to provide the station with quality programming. So I feel very odd about giving money to the station. I would like us to accept an invitation to appear on the station, but not for a fee.
Well, he sort of got us over a barrel, does he not? Because is he, would he not continue the programming that you're doing unless we...
You don't have to pay to do your program.
No, it's not like... Carol and I have the third week,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's only... we're looking for sponsors. This is a commercial radio station. And so that's what's different about it than WEFT or some of these other places. Right, you know, it's... I mean, that's how they generate income and stuff. People, all those people that you hear on the radio, whether it's talking sports or whoever, they pay for those slots, so they get sponsors for those slots. So,
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Jenny. I'm willing to pay the. I mean, if you'll take a six month block, mm-hmm. I'd be willing to do it. I understand what you're saying, and
well,
this should be a public service
yeah.
situation. But if that's what it takes to get the message out.
Is this the best vehicle, Aaron?
It's right to the black community. I mean, that's what I've always and we've talked about this stuff before as well. They don't do a lot of PSAs. You know, I'll call down there and try to, you know, if I catch somebody
because they're free. He does those for free, he said. That's why you don't hear a lot of them.
Right. I mean, no, you know.
Well, they probably also play them in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Times when most people.
I don't even hear PSAs on WBCB. I hear commercial ads, you know, the things people have paid for. And if I have an announcement, I try to call during one of the shows and slip it in, right? You know what I mean? But I mean, I understand what you're saying too, but I
think
I don't know what to say.
Jenny asked about like market share statistics or something, listing statistics, and he said he wouldn't share those with us.
It's proprietary.
I suppose, if somebody's sponsoring a program, they would want to know that, right? From a commercial.
So what he said was that they don't get the information because they're not a part of the
Nielsen.
Oh, so he doesn't even know what
right.
The,
right.
Well, we've got only four appointees from the general public here. There's ten members appointed from the public. There's only four of us. This is not a well-attended meeting. I'd like to hear more from my colleagues before deciding to spend money. Judge, we don't really have, do we? I mean,
it's coming out of my marriage fund.
Yeah.
Which is down to $2,200. Uh-huh. And somebody wants a chair. Can you believe that? One of the judges wants me to replace a chair.
The Marriage and Civil Union Fund.
Yes, I'm sorry, the Marriage and Civil Union Fund. But anyway, that's where it's coming from. And that, that's a limited. And we checked with the chief a while back, and he thought this would be an appropriate expenditure because we're trying to encourage people to
right.
serve
right.
on juries. So, it's not an unlimited amount of money. It's a rather small amount that we have available. But if it's agreed and he'd accept a 6 month block, then we can write him a check for that.
I think we have to see. I mean,
as a one-time and see how it goes.
Yeah.
See if our statistics change during that six-month period.
Well, it'll be very difficult.
It'd be hard to judge.
We can check it.
Yes.
Because we have all of these things going on, and that's the other thing. We've talked about this before too. I mean, after January, when we report the unemployment data, and you start making changes, we don't know exactly where it is. It's going to actually cause any difference, if there is a difference, and we hope there is.
I think the one aspect of that is that everything that we've done seems to be something that could be kept in place. It's not an sort of experimental type of thing. I think.
No, the only thing that we've done that costs money is the second questionnaire, where we sent those out. But I've almost positive I've been given a directive from the presiding judge that we're going to keep doing it. So I'm almost positive. So we will start doing that. We'll do another round of those and see how that goes.
He said it costs money, and my response was, I don't care.
Well, another consideration, it's just not... Okay, it's $700.
WCS left the building. Just
but,
you're talking about the radio station,
right.
Yeah.
But do we have the time and the interest to make a solid program every single week?
It wouldn't be weekly.
It's once a month.
Just once a month.
Yeah.
First Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, we would be able to. He would play our commercials, though, right?
Right. Exactly. That was so. We have
that's
a show
what we'd have
and
to do. We'd have to.
It's not just for the show.
Okay.
It's commercials as well.
One show a month,
and a couple
and then get more
promos throughout
okay.
the week. For what's
okay, well, will we be able to produce a high quality show? we have interesting guests, and
as long as you're going to host it every time.
It's not my bailiwick.
It's doable. It's doable, don't you think?
I think it's quite doable, and I think it's effective. It's effective to me because I feel like we're right in the heart of the Black community. WBCP is the drum, the pulse of the community. Right?
Is especially it really?
For the Black community, lots of people listen to WBCP.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
What's the time slot he's thinking of?
It's 11 to 12. It's called Straight Talk Live, and it's on from 11 to 12 on Saturdays.
Is that a good time to get the target population? People are listening on that morning?
We're listening to Straight Talk. Okay. It's been happening in the community for a long time. It's,
okay. Okay, but it would be the first Saturday of each month. Okay.
That's what ours.
So this would be monthly outlet. Mm-hmm. Boy, I did terrible minutes here.
And then the commercials. The commercial is what we have to produce. I would like to personally. I think we should go if we can have some place like when we did Forgiveness Weekend a few years back. We did it at at the IMC, and then took it over to WBCP. They don't have a lot of up-to-date technology and all.
Well,
that.
Didn't we do the other stuff at DWS? Didn't they let us use their studio when we did?
I think Patrick did his or something.
Yeah, he did at DWS.
Yeah. You know, just so that you have a quality sound and stuff in your commercial. That's the biggest thing for me, but have been on it and been able to talk about it and having people look forward to hearing accurate information.
My suggestion is if we do this, and then before we cut the commercial, you and I go do Penny for Your Thoughts again.
Okay.
And then Mike Kale will be there.
Let's make it more controversial next time.
Oh, thank you. Mike Kale will be there. Remember, he and we'll ask him about again using his facilities for cutting some commercials, some public service announcements.
All you have to do is just tell the truth. You don't like him, it's fine. It's a shame. It's fine.
But we're still able to work together.
We can work together, but I just don't like it. That's fine. That'll
work. But me and Julia.
So or you and me. We can put the two of us on there.
Me and Julia.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, do you think we've got enough people here to make a decision?
I'm comfortable with waiting. I mean, the money's there.
Okay.
I'm not going to spend it down to that amount. I'll make sure we keep a buffer in there.
Okay.
We're going to make sure we keep a buffer in there.
Yes.
Okay.
So we can wait till next month for some more people come.
Or maybe we'll have a meeting before.
we can discuss this issue through the emails when we use the vote, right?
Is there an alternative?
Offer him less money, but. No, probably not. There's not an alternative. I defer to Aaron's judgment. If Aaron says this is the medium, it's the medium.
Yeah, I would definitely feel much more uncomfortable if it was just for the show, $125 a month to do one show. No, I wouldn't think that was appropriate. Mm-hmm. But to do the commercials all month long, mm-hmm. you'd probably spend $125 just on the commercials.
Okay. Thank you for making me feel better about it.
Yeah. Are you planning on having the show this would be two Saturdays from now, which would be the first Saturday in November? Or will we have to wait till this happens?
I called him last for the first Saturday of October, and he was expecting to hear back from us on this. That was what we understand at this point. So, I wouldn't prepare anything until we're ready to go.
Okay. What do folks think about an email poll of all, the 10 public members, the 3 court officials, and the 2 other elected officials who constitute the Citizens Advisory Committee? And have everybody, how do you feel about it? Please let us know soon because...
Or you can just take our pulse now and then...
Well, just do it with the email.
Okay,
that way you've got
it
all comes in at the same time.
Okay.
Or it should.
And you think you could do something by the first Saturday in November? That's right after.
He can do the show, but the commercials, we'd have time to get those put together.
And if I tell people we want to... Wait, let me look at the calendar. That's November...
5.
November 5th. Okay.
I will be here November 5th.
Well, wait a minute. Does that conflict with the show that you do on WAP?
You know, we we're off at 10 o'clock on Webster. But
the same, two shows on one Saturday morning.
Yes.
And it's not even a year divisible by two. It's like it's not a campaign year.
But I won't be here November 5th. I'll be out of town November 5th.
Sure, because that's the one I was going to do. So now we're off again.
But see, what we could do is have Patricia Avery host it, and then you and Patricia could do it.
That would be fine.
So we'll see. Let me know. Okay. I'll talk to Patricia.
Okay.
So let's take the poll first, and then we'll move from there.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, we need to help the judge get up to full force on the jury commission.
Right. So we can talk about it. I can talk about that tomorrow. I have a regular program in the morning for WEFT. So,
Pledge week.
No, yeah.
Well, again, and it's not like they got a...
Right.
You know, that there's a test or anything.
It's right.
Just, if you've got somebody who's willing to do it from the African-American community, the bonus would be someone who would also be willing to go through the, you know, in the community and say, hey, look.
Right. Well, I can mention some names, but I don't know if these would be controversial. You don't want a controversial. I'm thinking of, like, Reverend Chambers, NAACP president, past president.
The other
controversial
thing. You know, just getting a list of names or whatever, just having them just talk to us, you know.
Right, but
kind of gauge.
Why don't...
But it is kind of, and I do want to say this, it is kind of important that we get on this right away, because, you know, having just two is not where we want to be. We need to have all three.
Also, I think for cohesion among the three of them, you'd like to, you know, you're starting with an entirely new group, and they would like to, everybody in on the ground floor, working as a team. It's an ideal time to... It was just for interesting that you had the three resignations, boom, 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 practically one after another.
Well, it was just medical issues, you know.
But it just
came
like that.
You know, so they were, you know, advancing in years, and it was just...
Well, how about when I send out the poll, we also ask people to, not just how do you feel about this investment in a monthly one-hour show on WBCP, say some names of people you would like to...
Sure. Throw some names out there.
Okay.
And then we can just call them and have them come in. We can either meet here or meet at the courthouse, and whoever wants to come and sit in and chat, we can do that.
Okay. Judge, what do you think about asking off the county board's Justice and Public Safety Committee, do they have names they'd like to recommend? If those county board members have people... It is the Justice and Public Safety Committee to whom we report.
Well, I don't know that you want to formally ask them.
I
really don't want to get the county board involved in what it is that we do.
I guess I just can't get out of that. I was doing that for so long. I just can't shake it.
So we have the...
it's the committee of the whole anyway. So.
The radio ad piece is going... We're going to do that via the email. And we took care of the... There was something else that you mentioned about the jury commission.
Have we done the minutes? Have we approved the minutes?
Yes.
They have the massive corrections.
As Jenny has corrected them?
I move that we
approve the minutes as Jenny has amended them.
Okay, so I have to change we've got the $200 donation, which is for the 800 pieces.
Exactly.
And the $500 pieces in the bank getting interest.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. It's in the bank, right? Okay.
Who gets interest?
Okay. It's in the bank of the bar. Well, my motion's on the table and been seconded. So
all in favor of approving the minutes as corrected by Ms. Jenny Putman, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Okay. So we did the announcements. Everything is set. Everybody...
Aaron, are you ready for the 11th for your League of Women Voters event? What's the 11th month?
The 11th is...
That's Veterans Day. Everything will be closed.
11-11-11.
Yes, Joe.
Talking about the brochures that the Bar Association is going to pay for. This spring, we have primary election. We've got at least... two people who've announced for circuit clerk on the Republican side. Barb is thinking on the Democratic side. However that turns out, it would be very nice if when these, whoever the two candidates are, and they're out campaigning and going door to door with their literature. If we could have enough of those, and they would be willing to slip those in with their campaigning.
That's a nice idea.
I know Barb wouldn't have any problem with it.
That's a beautiful idea.
So anyway,
because we're not a Democratic or a Republican. No, but we're partisan. I'm sorry.
I don't care.
We're partisan. It's just that our organization is. Individually, we have politics.
Right.
But
put that in the. That's a good idea. So that sort of answers the question about
How many we need.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Oh, thousands.
Well,
but still,
you can get 800
good.
For $200.
I think people would read them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
anyway, let's just.
Hey, that's brilliant.
The November
I like
meeting.
It. I like
you
it.
Hear that, Roger? Was brilliant. Mark that down.
Oh. November,
this is where I go comment some Netwell employees.
Let's see, November.
Not the
11th. Right.
That's Veterans Day.
So it would be the 18th.
Yeah.
Yeah. 25th that's
is
good.
And 25th is Thanksgiving. So you're basically the 18th is the only one that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 18th.
That's good.
All right.
But Aaron, will you tell us what you want us to do for your League of Women Voters event, which will be on the 10th of November?
No.
I mean,
I would like for everybody to sit in the front row and. And clap at everything that I say.
Make faces.
I think what would be nice if you had either one paragraph or a few sentences of important points that if I felt like if I got an email from everybody saying, hey, talk about this for a minute, that would give me a sort of collective feeling from the group as to what people thought were the important points, and then I could add whatever ones that I thought as well. That way I'd be able to cover most of the areas that most of us think are important, at least touch on them. You know? So if folks would just send me an email what they felt like was important and needs to be discussed at the League of Women Voters, that would be fine. Just, you know, a few sentences maybe, but not more than a paragraph. So
hopefully
if Rob, that means you have to
send
two.
Ready.
I send two? Yes, I'll send two.
Oh, because we are sending. Is
yeah,
that right? We are sending, isn't it?
So,
I give that we clause.
No other public participation. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. Second, and this meeting is adjourned.